One afternoon, for no reason, Amparo Moscote asked permission to see the house. Amaranta and Rebecca, disconcerted by the unexpected visit, attended her with a stiff formality. They showed her the remodeled mansion, they had her listen to the rolls on the pianola, and they offered her orange marmalade and crackers. Amparo gave a lesson in dignity, personal charm, and good manners that impressed Ursula in the few moments that she was present during the visit. After 2 hours, when the conversation was beginning to wane, Amparo took advantage of Amaranta's distraction and gave Rebecca a letter. She was able to see the name of the estimable Señorita Rebecca Buendía, written in the same methodical hand, with the same green ink, and the same delicacy of words with which the instructions for the operation of the pianola were written, and she folded the letter with the tips of her fingers and hid it in her bosom, looking at Amparo Moscote with an expression of endless and unconditional gratitude, and a silent promise of complicity unto death. The sudden friendship between Amparo Moscote and Rebecca Buendía awakened the hopes of Aureliano. The memory of little Remedios had not stopped tormenting him, but he had not found a chance to see her. When he would stroll through town with his closest friends, Magnifico Bisbal and Gerineldo Márquez, the sons of the founders of the same names, he would look for her in the sewing shop with an anxious glance, but he saw only the older sisters. The presence of Amparo Moscote in the house was like a premonition. "She has to come with her," Aureliano would say to himself in a low voice. "She has to come." He repeated it so many times and with such conviction that one afternoon when he was putting together a little gold fish in the workshop, he had the certainty that she had answered his call. Indeed, a short time later he heard the childish voice, and when he looked up, his heart froze with terror as he saw the girl at the door, dressed in pink organdy and wearing white boots. "You can't go in there, Remedios," Amparo Moscote said from the hall. "They're working." But Aureliano did not give her time to respond. He picked up the little fish by the chain that came through its mouth and said to her, "Come in." Remedios went over and asked some questions about the fish that Aureliano could not answer because he was seized with a sudden attack of asthma. He wanted to stay beside that lily skin forever, beside those emerald eyes, close to that voice that called him Sir with every question, showing the same respect that she gave her father. Melquiades was in the corner seated at the desk scribbling indecipherable signs. Aureliano hated him. All he could do was tell Remedios that he was going to give her the little fish, and the girl was so startled by the offer that she left the workshop as fast as she could. That afternoon, Aureliano lost the hidden patience with which he had waited for a chance to see her. He neglected his work. In several desperate efforts of concentration, he willed her to appear. But Remedios did not respond. He looked for her in her sister's shop, behind the window shades in her house, in her father's office, but he found her only in the image that saturated his private and terrible solitude. He would spend whole hours with Rebecca in the parlor listening to the music on the pianola. She was listening to it because it was the music with which Pietro Crespi had taught them how to dance. Aureliano listened to it simply because everything, even music, reminded him of Remedios. The house became full of love. Aureliano expressed it in poetry that had no beginning or end. He would write it on the harsh pieces of parchment that Melquiades gave him, on the bathroom walls, on the skin of his arms, and in all of it Remedios would appear transfigured. Remedios in the soporific air of 2 in the afternoon. Remedios in the soft breath of the roses. Remedios in the water clock secrets of the moths. Remedios in the steaming morning bread, Remedios everywhere, and Remedios forever. Rebecca waited for her love at 4 in the afternoon, embroidering by the window. She knew that the mailman's mule arrived only every 2 weeks, but she always waited for him, convinced that he was going to arrive on some other day by mistake. It happened quite the opposite. Once the mule did not come on the usual day. Mad with desperation, Rebecca got up in the middle of the night and ate handfuls of earth in the garden with a suicidal drive, weeping with pain and fury, chewing tender earthworms and chipping her teeth on snail shells. She vomited until dawn. She fell into a state of feverish prostration, lost consciousness, and her heart went into a shameless delirium. Ursula, scandalized, forced the lock on her trunk and found at the bottom, tied together with pink ribbons, the 16 perfumed letters and the skeletons of leaves and petals preserved in old books and the dried butterflies that turned to powder at the touch.